Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Well, it's Tuesday, so it's time for our Common Health segment. And joining me now is Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog. Hi there, Carrie.
Hey, Meghna.
So the organ system of the day today is the kidneys.
Yes,
why?
It is. It is indeed. Well, first, let me confess my own motivation. I've been a health reporter for just about a decade now, and I was shocked and horrified at my own ignorance about the incredibly enormous silent epidemic of chronic kidney disease in this country. So there are more than 20 million Americans with chronic kidney disease, and hundreds of thousands are in the end stages of kidney disease, and about 88,000 die every year.
20 million with chronic kidney disease?
Yes.
That's what, 8% of the population? It's a huge number.
Yes, it's a huge number, and it's oddly disproportionate to how much we hear about it, which is very little. So when this very interesting piece of new research came out, I was particularly eager to write about it.
Okay, so tell us about this research. It's something that you say will make people pay more attention to their kidneys if they're not already?
It's a new paper that came out that found that even fairly small changes that can be detected in your kidney function seem to be correlated to trouble up ahead for your brain.
So when things go wrong or begin to go wrong with your kidneys, it could signal something, what, cognitive decline imminent in the brain?
Right. Not imminent. And these are extremely small changes. They're not even at the level that would be clinically significant. But the study found that when they measured these changes early on, and then they followed women over 70 for several years, they found that the women who had this very, very beginning low-level change in kidney function seemed to decline more quickly with their brain function over the following years.
And in fact, I think you wrote that they decline, what, 2 to 7 times faster over the following years?
That is what the study found.
Remarkable. Okay, mm-hmm. Carrie, so let's bring in the senior author of this study. She is Dr. Julie Lin. She's a nephrologist at Brigham and Women's Hospital. And as I mentioned, she is the senior author of this new study that appeared in the Clinical Journal of the American Society of Nephrology. Dr. Lin, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
So it is quite attention-grabbing to hear that small changes in kidney function, you know, may be correlated to changes in brain function. What's the link between the two organ systems?
Well, I believe that the urine protein of the low levels that are being detected here reflect systemic changes in the body of small vessel disease and likely a subclinical inflammatory state.
Okay, so for those of us who didn't go to medical school, that would mean that what, the kidneys are, they're full of blood vessels because they're doing a lot of filtration, right?
That's absolutely correct.
And the brain also full of blood vessels?
Absolutely.
Okay, and so what is it that could be affecting the blood vessels in the kidney that also then has an effect on the brain?
So early vessel dysfunction, like you would see when you have high blood pressure or have diabetes or even prediabetes, may affect the natural health of the blood vessels, and that is reflected in the kidney spilling small amounts of protein into the urine.
Ah, I see. So basically in a urine sample, you'd be able to see increased amounts of this protein?
That's correct.
Okay.
You should usually, if you're healthy, have no detectable level of this albumin in the urine. So the reason the protein ends up in the urine is because the small vessels in the kidney are a little bit damaged and leak protein into the urine. But I think it reflects that there is blood vessel disease throughout the body, maybe at very early stages.
So in that case, this may be a new way to detect problems that we otherwise couldn't see early on throughout, you know, I guess throughout the body, since our vascular system, you know, runs throughout the whole body.
Yes, I think it is. Currently, the recommendation is for screening of the albuminuria in patients who are high risk, whereas people with diabetes or high blood pressure. However, it is a simple, readily available, and inexpensive, as well as a non-invasive test to check the urine for this protein.
I think maybe this is still very early research. Like, this is the first really strong finding.
I'm always
this.
Looking for answers.
I know. You'd like to have a $10 test. The other thing is that there's no cure for brain decline, except that what I've heard repeatedly is that what's good for your heart is good for your brain. And I think that would be true in this case as well, right, Dr. Lin, that basically you just want to live healthy.
I absolutely agree with all those statements. So I do think the potential public health implications could be very widespread.
Carrie, you know, at the beginning of this conversation, you said that 20 million Americans suffer from kidney disease. Mm-hmm. Why is it that you don't think people pay more attention to their kidneys?
Well, I think that kidney disease is oftentimes secondary to other diseases that get more attention, to diabetes, to obesity, to high blood pressure. And so those tend to steal the scene. And then also there is this phenomenon, which is that for a long time it can be symptom-free. And so if you're not getting a checkup and getting your urine tested, then you might not even know that you have it. Mm. You know, I've never heard of a disease where so many doctors say, I tell my patients they have it, but they just don't care. And I think that there can be many reasons. In fact, I spoke to the American Association of Kidney Patients, and they said that the reasons range from just that it's very common among the working poor and people might not have coverage, or sometimes it's a communication problem, like the doctor will say, you have kidney disease, but they won't completely spell out for the patient what they need to do. So it's a complex problem.
Dr. Lin, is that one of the sort of powerful things about your study, that with diabetes verging on epidemic proportions, especially among certain populations in the United States, and kidney disease oftentimes, as Carrie said, a sub-problem that comes along with diabetes. You know, here's a way to get people to pay closer attention to their overall health through what hopefully might be a very simple urine test.
Yes, that's definitely my hope. So I think this finding that it's also associated with cognitive decline, which we expected, is an important one for raising awareness.
So Dr. Lin, I think if for anyone who is concerned about possibly having kidney disease, what should they do?
During their annual checkup, they could consider asking their doctor for a measurement of a blood test for kidney filtration function in addition to measuring the amount of albumin in their urine.
And those are pretty standard parts of an annual physical?
They can be. Mm-hmm. There is a debate in the primary care arena as to whether such widespread screening is really effective and necessary. So that's why I am advocating that these efforts should be limited to people with risk factors for kidney disease.
I see.
And those are diabetes, obesity, high blood pressure, age, right? If you're just older.
An older, yes.
Yeah.
With, you know, the demographic bubble being as it is, there are ever more Americans who fall into those categories.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, Dr. Julie Lin is a physician at Brigham and Women's Hospital and senior author of a new study that appeared in the Clinical Journal of the American Society of Nephrology. Dr. Lin, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And Carrie Goldberg, I shall now also be paying attention to my kidneys, let alone my heart and my brain.
Thank you for letting me talk about them.
Carrie Goldberg is the co-host of our Common Health blog. Well, there's a link to Carrie's story at our website, radioboston.org.
Tomorrow on Radio Boston, the Cambridge-born transcendentalist Margaret Fuller was a journalist, literary critic, and political activist. And according to a new biography, she was one of the most controversial American women of the 19th century.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.